Let us pray. For children singing, dear Lord, and families gathered together in church, we give you thanks. For the people that are joining our congregation today, dear Lord, may they feel your love and your warmth and your presence, and may they have found their home. For mallards and budding trees and spring, dear Lord, thank you. For the rain that washes away the grime, for forgiveness, clean slates, and second chances. For our families, dear Lord, those given and those chosen, bless us. Calm our hearts and our minds that we might hear your word. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So if you haven't been here for a couple of weeks, you may be looking at the bulletin and thinking, oh, I wonder why they have the brackets around this sermon, which is entitled The Sermon. Well, it doesn't mean it's all that and then some. It just means that we have been having a sermon series, and we've been talking about the different parts of our worship service and why each is important. And today you happen to be here on the day when we're talking about the sermon. So there's an old joke that pastors tell that goes like this. A parishioner walks into church one Sunday morning and asks the usher, how was the sermon today? The usher answers, long, dull, and boring. The parishioner looks aghast and says, do you know who I am, young man? And he says, well, no, ma'am, I don't. I am the pastor's mother, she replies. Well, do you know who I am? He asks her. No, I do not. Whew, he responds and quickly skedaddles away. Sermons bring up all kinds of puns and emotions. I still remember bringing my then 19-year-old Gustavus boyfriend, Tom Hammerston, to Mount Olivet. I figured if we were going to hang out, he better get used to this place. We were sitting up in that balcony, my preferred place to be sitting on a Sunday morning, and the sermon ended, and he looked at me, and he said, well, that's it. I think I could go here. Or the Reformation Sunday morning when Pastor Youngdahl invited Father Michael O'Connell from the Basilica of St. Mary to preach. We all collectively held our breath as the old priest stood here in silence, not saying a word. He just calmly was spinning his large gold watch that was clearly too big for his wrist, and he just sat and he spun it. It was probably all of 15 seconds, but it felt like an hour. And when he finally spoke, he looked up and said with a twinkle in his Irish eye, so apparently time is of the essence here at Mount Olivet, and I'm to keep my remarks to 9 minutes. But we all know the difference between fast food and fine dining. There was a nervous pause. PY threw his head back with a huge grin and one of his silent chuckles, and the whole congregation burst out laughing. Preaching is hard. It's really hard. It's scary getting up in front of people and sharing your faith. I'm sweating right now. Pastor Hoganson used to say that his family came to expect he might get a little crabby beginning Saturday around dinner time as he wrestled with his sermon. My family might say I get a little crabby starting about the preceding Wednesday. It's a big responsibility to do our best to see what God is up to in the scripture, to convey just how much God loves you. We begin on our knees, saying, please, dear Lord, Help me to say what they need to hear. One of my favorite preachers says he feels like an imposter every time he gets into the pulpit, and most of us would agree. And I guess that's the whole point. Sharing our humanity, recognizing that we all fall short, and then sharing our observations of where we see God in this thing called life. 2 Corinthians 12:9 reads, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me." So while we ourselves are often gobsmacked at the incomprehensible word, capital W, that Jesus loves us exactly as we are, we humbly do our best, flawed, imperfect human beings that we are, with fear and trembling, and with God's help, we try to make sure that each Sunday you leave here knowing, at least fleetingly, until the world gets a hold of you, that God is grace, and that God is love, and that God is forgiveness. We need to hear over and over and over again that we are intimately known and deeply loved, to tide us over until that blessed day when we all fall into the arms of our Lord and Savior. Does God really know every word on my lips and in my heart and loves me anyway? Does God really see me at my very worst? You know, those things that I wish that I myself wouldn't remember that I've done? Gathering together in the pews each Sunday reminds us of who we are and whose we are, so that we can then go out into the world buoyed up for the week ahead, ready to let our light shine, knowing that we are forgiven, beloved children of God. This morning's text is itself a sermon written by the Apostle Paul from prison, no less. And he writes to the people of this new church he had just planted in Philippi, a bustling city that linked Rome to the east. They were tired. They were being persecuted for being Christians. And the very man who had begun their church was now stuck in prison, so they were scared, they were tired, and their faith was fading. So he wrote them a sermon to encourage them. And what I love about the text that you just heard read by Pastor McLean is that he doesn't begin by saying, "Hey, it's me, the it man, you know, the Apostle Paul, God's main man, the guy who started your church." But instead by humbly referring to himself as a servant of Christ. He's saying, "Hey, I struggle too, I get lonely too, I worry. But through it all, I see God's light, and I know that together we can lift one another up in our faith, that we can share our experience and our strength and our hope, that we're together in this, the gospel. I'm not apart or different, and I'm certainly not better. We're together in this. And the one who began this work in all of us will bring it to completion." I close with this. We are all preachers, you and I, making our way through the world filled with questions, trying to figure it all out. The Apostle Paul called it working out our salvation with fear and with trembling. And here's the thing. The church wasn't built by biblical scholars. The church was built by people like you and me and the people of Philippi sharing their faith with one another, lifting each other's up, all seeds planted and fertilized by the Holy Spirit. So whether you hear the good word from a priest standing up here spinning Pastor Youngdahl's watch, or an apostle who humbly calls himself a servant of God, or from the most unexpected source, I hope that you hear these words. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Now let your light so shine before others that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen.